May I speak to you in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In August 1855, 10 local men met in the home of Ira Schofield, right there on Ringsend Road, to organize a new Episcopal parish for the people of Darien, St. Luke's Parish. In August 1856, there was a procession that made its way down the Post Road of clergy and parishioners from the then Union Chapel, right about where St. John's Roman Catholic Church is today, to this plot of land to lay the cornerstone for this church. And a year later, in August 1857, that church, this church, was opened for services, and we've gathered here ever since to praise God and to hear God's word, for baptisms, weddings, funerals, and for countless celebrations of the Holy Eucharist, both large and small. This house of prayer has stood on the Post Road for over 160 years, and it seems only right that we remember and give thanks for the faith of those who helped found this place. As we start another year together on this kickoff Sunday, it seems only right to remember those faithful beginnings as we make our own, welcoming parishioners back into this church for the first time since COVID-19 forced us to close our doors and suspend public worship in March. In the church, we call this a feast of dedication, a dedication festival, and it's a chance both to remember the founding of our parish and to rededicate ourselves to Christ and his call. Each of the readings the church gives us for this day are in some way about the temple in Jerusalem, that great structure that stands at the very heart of ancient Israel, the center of worship, the center of national identity, the resting place for the Ark of God, containing the very commandments of God, the dwelling place of God on earth. In 1 Kings, we heard wise Solomon's prayer of dedication, consecrating the newly constructed temple as a place where God's name would dwell, and God's people would find their prayers heard. The psalmist sings of her desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. Happy are those who dwell in God's house and whose feet are set on the pilgrim's way. Jesus himself in the gospel reading is consumed with a zeal for God's temple, that that house of prayer would be for all. He goes immediately there, right after his triumphal Palm Sunday entrance into Jerusalem, goes straight there to drive out the money changers and to heal the blind and the lame who came to rest in God's presence and to seek God's deliverance. They are, each of them, fantastic readings. But as I sat with them this week, it was that second reading from the first letter of Peter that really jumped out at me, and in particular, these words. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. It's one of my favorite images in all of the Bible, that the temple of God's presence in the world is not made with human hands, but is instead made out of living stones, hewn by love. The temple of God's presence in the world, the sign of God's love in the world, isn't a building. It's a people. It's a movement. It's us. Jesus himself actually points us in that direction. Throughout the Gospels, he speaks about the temple quite a lot, actually. Most often saying that it would be torn down and raised up in 3 days. It's that prediction, alongside the prophetic act of driving out the money changers that we heard about in today's gospel, that gets him into trouble. It's that prediction And that prophetic act, that's one of the reasons the chief priests and the scribes seek his arrest and conspire with the Roman authorities to silence him and any hint of dissent or protest. But when Jesus predicts that the temple would be destroyed, he wasn't talking about a building, of course. He was talking about himself, about his own death and resurrection. Jesus doesn't discount the importance of the temple, but he does make a striking new claim that he is the true fulfillment of it. He is where God's glory dwells, tabernacles on earth. He is the place where heaven and earth meet and become one. And it is his self-offering of love, his sacrifice of love on the cross, that tears the curtain of the temple in two, opening up access to the Holy of Holies and revealing to us the very heart of God. In the weeks and months and years after his death and resurrection, it was that image that he is the temple that began to resonate among early Christians as they spread throughout the Mediterranean basin. Wherever the gospel took them, however far from Jerusalem they found themselves, they knew that they still had access to God. They knew that they could still pray in God's presence, as if in the temple in Jerusalem, because Jesus, their risen Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was with them in all things. Peter, writing to the early Christian communities in Asia Minor in the 70s AD, communities facing persecution and struggle, picks up that theme. He says, "Be strong and do not fear, for you are God's people. Come to him. Come to him, the living stone, which seemed to be rejected by mortals and yet is precious in God's sight. Come to him. And like living stones, be built into a spiritual house, standing on Christ, who is your very foundation, the rock under your feet." Peter speaks a word of encouragement to them, tells them that while life is hard, tells them that while nothing is easy, the love they have for one another, their witness to the gospel, their faithfulness in walking in Christ's ways, these things have eternal significance. They are a royal priesthood, offering their lives to God as a living sacrifice. They are living stones built into a spiritual house who show by their life together that the temple of God's presence in the world, the sign of Christ's love for the world, isn't a building, isn't even Jesus himself. It's a people connected to Jesus by their baptism. It's a movement of imperfect disciples, sinners rescued and redeemed by the grace and mercy of God, who seek to live and to love like Jesus. It's that people. It's that movement. It's us. This, my friends, is an incredible day in our life together, to be back in this place. These buildings that we love, these buildings are visible signs and sacraments of Christ's presence, and we love them, and we give thanks for those who built them, and it is awesome to be in them once again together. But St. Luke's is not this building. It's you, sitting here in this church. It's you on the live stream. It's you who have been here for decades, and you who, like me, are fairly new. It's you whose hearts are bursting with joy this day, and you who feel weighed down and crushed by grief and sadness and fear. It's you who come with doubts and questions, and you who know Jesus to be your closest companion through life's journey. St. Luke's is all of us. And if any of us is missing, like a stone missing from a wall, we're weaker for it. So we come this day not just to celebrate the dedication of these buildings, but to rededicate ourselves to the holy work that God calls us to grow in our faith, to root and ground ourselves in God's word, to do God's will, and to share God's grace and God's love in all that we do. Each of us as a living stone is needed to build this spiritual house. Each of us has an important role to play. There are gifts and talents and treasures that only you can bring. As this weekend's death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg reminded us once again, one life, one person really can make a difference. So on this kickoff Sunday, as we start a new year together, a year that will look like none we could possibly remember, on this weekend when our Jewish sisters and brothers celebrate Rosh Hashanah and the start of a new year, let us ask God to show us what we alone can bring. Let's ask God to give us the strength to be all in. Let's ask God to bless us with the wisdom and with the grace to live and to love like Jesus. For my friends, the temple of God's presence in the world, the sign of Christ's love for this world, isn't a building. It's a people. It's a movement. It's you. It's us. And God is waiting for us to say yes. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.